Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Serious matter, the Coptic Pope who prays, is it okay we talk about the Coptic Pope?
I don't have a problem with the Coptic Pope.
I am so good. That's good.
That's hey.
That he's what he's saying. You're going to hear this report that U.S. is still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. You have to understand, if it is as Michelle Bachmann said, if it is as what we perceive to take in place with the daughter of one of the big leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood being the assistant to the Secretary of State,
Uma,
when Hillary Clinton was there, and now former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former still wife of President Bill Clinton, former Senator Hillary Clinton, former attorney of the Rodham, some firm, her assistant was, I'm trying to get all those formers done, because if you name all the formers, right?
Mm, a lot.
It's a lot of formers. And former mentoree of Saul Alinsky. I guess he's went all the way back.
Yeah.
And where the forbidden fruit was eaten.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so they're saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is still integrated there. Understand, it was up under, based on my knowledge, and you can find this out simply on Wikipedia, which people say, why would you have Wikipedia? Because they really don't have an agenda. I mean, these are people that critique each other's work. I mean, I went to the Ford Motor website, and what I found out when I went to Ford.com, you're not going to believe this, that is the best car ever made. I'm serious. I mean, they said, even though they have three wheels on a four-wheel car. I mean, you think people go to, they go right straight to the website of the one who's making the product.
Sure.
And they go, I read the reviews on Ford's website. You know, and they said that that's what people do. But to me, when you go to Wikipedia, you have this whole, and the founder of Wikipedia, by the way, is, I believe he went to Auburn.
Really?
Auburn University, but he doesn't live in America anymore. But what I heard his interview was, you actually could see this on, you know, where it came from. He just thinks all information should be free, and that in turn it will all work out when things are brought out and whatever. I don't know about that, but anyway, either way, it's sort of like what God said that would be that way. And so you say, why would I bring up former Hillary Clinton? Is that CARE, which is stands for Islamic American Relationships. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Oh, your camera probably wasn't on. And that started under Bill and Hillary Clinton. So they saw, for some reason, remember President Bill Clinton, he tried to bring peace in the Middle East, and it didn't work. But he signed some agreements. There's some specific
ones. He tried real hard.
Yeah. And so maybe this was his viewpoint. Maybe this is, we need to use the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to bring this in. I mean, some people say, you know, it's always wild. It's always going to be wild. They just need tyrannical leaders, and that'll keep it straight. Mm. I mean, people actually say this in regards to Christians, and we're not promoting anything like that. Shouldn't be. And so now, when she was Secretary of State, she had the, you have to understand somebody, you know, I don't know. Imagine if Lucifer had a daughter, you know. No, imagine if Hitler had a daughter, because there's people right now who are children of Adolf Hitler. And they put together a documentary, and it's like they're trying to walk this out, the atrocities their dad had done to the human race, to the Jews, to all of that. And it's like, but that's my, you know, and they were trying to differentiate themselves from what their father had done. But imagine now that they're actually for what their father had done, Hitler. Mm-hmm. And now imagine their child being the assistant to our Secretary of State and travel the world. And that's why I would perceive, John's favorite word, allegedly, that I never heard it. Was like you pull the allegedly out and you just have hello. Anyway, they allegedly. But look at the access she had in the world. The most traveled Secretary of State for many, many years that she had done. And it's like, how did you get this access in the Muslim world? How did a woman get that kind of access to an Islamic world? I'm not saying in our perspective as a woman. I'm talking about from their perspective, because they wouldn't have a, you know, they believe that the men mm-hmm. are over the women and they cover them for a reason in their own belief and they mm-hmm. keep them tucked away and women don't have rights. And if they're following the Quran like that, but yet this woman's coming in and it's like, could it be that Uma, the daughter, so really was, were they listening to the Secretary of State because she was Secretary of State of America? Or they looked past her, it's all, and I'm not calling Uma and comparing her anyway with Adolf Hitler. I'm just saying that's a comparison kind of analogy to understand it. Or they're looking at Uma and thinking all those thoughts you would about Hitler's kid, you would just go like, all that luggage comes with her. I'm not thinking about her. I'm thinking about who her parents are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're powerful Muslim Brotherhood leaders, mother and father reportedly, which means a lot of the Muslim nations followed them or were influenced by mm-hmm. them, then they're basically saying, you know, hey, this is ours. That's a reason why, according to Pat Robinson, that American Muslims... Our president, President Barack Obama, has a 72% approval rate with American Muslims. Because I'm like, look, Uma, this daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood, was the assistant right there of the mm-hmm. president, really, yeah. via the Secretary of State. That, you know, iftar dinners are being held, which is an honorary type meal for, you know, the religion of Islam.
This is a long-lasting relationship. I mean, my understanding is that Uma and her name is last name is Abedin Wiener, but you don't hear the Wiener part. It's the last name. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Miss Wiener. That's right. She married Congressman Wiener.
That's right.
Who was running for
Congressman Wiener? He was removed.
But governor. Resigned. He never made Mayor Wiener of the.
He tried to run, but he didn't win. So that relationship, my understanding, happened even when she was in the White House when she was the First Lady. She interned, and that relationship, she was an assistant.
To?
Uma was to Hillary Clinton. And then when Hillary ran her campaign in 2008, she was her assistant. And then when she became Secretary of State, she became one of her head assistants and personal travel aide. So wherever Hillary Clinton went, Uma was right there, right beside her. All of these countries, most traveled, you know, Secretary of State ever.
So when she was negotiating with Hamas... in Egypt, during that earlier thing, then Uma was right there in the context of that. Yeah. So you have the assistant, the confidant, close friend of the president of the United States, who has dinner with him and First Lady Michelle every night, or often, mm-hmm. and was friends with Michelle before she was with Obama, because they weren't even married at that time. She was actually born in Iran. Mm. And there's a lot of empathizing here with Iran because we didn't even go to help them. You got to go back and watch the segment we have in the VF and Torch where 60 Minutes is just saying, I mean, she actually says in 60 Minutes interview, one thing that I really appreciate about this is one aspect that I appreciate about our current leadership as president and his staff is they just tell it. They just say it. Mm. But the other aspect of it is about the American people. You don't hear it. When the president says, when he's running for president, he says, you know, I want to fundamentally transform America. It's going to change as we know it. We need to rewrite history. That I want to have a single payer health care plan. And it's all of a sudden everybody's just shocked that we're moving towards a single payer healthcare plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. He's saying these things. He's saying them. The thing is people just are so confident that it won't go that way or whatever. I don't know what's going on. I mean, just believe them. They say when somebody says something, believe them until they show you something different. I mean, he said he was going to try from the very speech that the president gave, well, then Senator Barack Obama he gave at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, the Audacity of Hope. I mean, he everything he said there, and then he wrote in his book, The Audacity of Hope, as he broke that speech down, that has been his, I wouldn't say a business plan, but his leadership plan. That's been what he's wanting to do. Well, and so I think he's been totally out front. He said, you know, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, you know, pull all references to Islam in any way being an enemy of America. Mm-hmm. Just remove it. Remove it from FBI libraries, CIA libraries. Mm-hmm. When he says out loud and openly that I want to be able to get the zakat as a tax exempt donation, because right now it's not because it's 1/6 of it goes to
jihad,
but he's saying that, and then has an Ishtar dinner and invites in some of the leaders. He's not, you know, that he's like, the question is, what are you doing?
Right.
Not what he's doing. He's actually doing, but when you look at Hillary Clinton, you know, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, she wasn't that upfront about what's going on, but now it's coming to a head where when her assistant, Uma's husband, Congressman Weiner, is running for the mayor of New York, and Uma's standing right there beside him. Remember, we talked about, if you missed our earlier segment about, you know, organizing, community organizing, and what happens to churches and when that type of thing. I mean, leaders need help. Hmm. And if the only person there to help Uma, to help Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, if the only person there was a daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves that there was not somebody that's been in America that's loyal to the Constitution that, you know, that will be there to help her out. If all we had was the Muslim Brotherhood daughter to help her out, you know what I'm saying? Hmm. There should be a lot of interns and people just showing up and saying, you know, I want to help. Even if it's difficult for some of the things that they believe in, at least you're present in the argument. You're present in the discussion. What I was talking about right prior to the break is trying to put pieces together and trying to paint a picture. It says God's people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Imagine if Israel didn't know what they know. Now they're able to communicate to the whole world. This is what we know. And much of the world, including the founder of this X Factor type show, Simon Cowell, gives $100,000, reports are, to the Israeli Defense Force Fund.
Oh, wow.
Who else?
Well, Mayor Bloomberg. You know, there are a lot of things we haven't agreed with Mayor Bloomberg.
Really?
So, former Mayor Bloomberg of New York City.
He's a Jew.
There's a host of things. But one thing that I can't stand with Mayor Bloomberg about is the fact that he said publicly on his Twitter account that he was flying to Israel after there's been a ban. FAA put a ban on Israel's flying, any flights going into Israel to their airport, which is huge because it's putting a cloud whether Israel's safe, and it's going to, you know, potentially hurt their their tourists that are coming over there, that type of,
which,
you know,
is their economy.
It's their economy. And so Mayor Bloomberg gets into his plane, flies all the way to Tel Aviv during this ban, this flying ban.
So he flew when
they let him in.
The FAA was shut down.
Yeah, he flew anyway and met with the prime minister and said, and CNN with Blitzer said, this is ridiculous. This is safe. Everybody
it had
come.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
The safe, they, Israel would not run. By the way, just so you know this, Israel would not fly UN if they thought you would be in danger.
Yeah.
What they want to stop is these rockets from being fired over in their country. They're taking them out by the Iron Dome. They're not risking your life. The safest place probably on the face of the earth right now.
Oh yeah,
is Israel. They're just they're humane in the way that they're doing it. Like the Israeli ambassador Ron Dermer said, the Israeli Defense Force needs a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah,
right.
The way they're doing it, and there's no country in the history. So understand, they wouldn't risk us.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario for them is if an airline was coming in and it got hit. So they wouldn't. That would be worse than
they're not having any flights coming in at all.
Well, understand. So they're not going to say bring flights in here and risk you getting hurt. As a matter of fact, we're so busy. We're very, very busy. Very busy. As a matter of fact, I was trying to tell, you know, Steve that we just don't have time to play. You know, but he wants to get together and do something. And right.
He's all about playing.
He's all about playing. Play.
Although.
Play. Yeah, right.
Yes.
John used to play.
Yes.
That's Mr. Play.
We got to get back. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. And so,
I come back.
And so I just make sure, you know, it's just like, it makes me want to go to Israel. Even in the little bit of time that we have, just to go.
Yeah.
And do our program for there for a week. Because, I mean, don't tell anybody you can't go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And But then I talk about that long flight. It's long. It's long.
Very.
It's long.
But it will be worth it.
Yes.
Worth it.
Yeah, it'll be. We definitely can get some sleep in on that flight.
Sure
right?
can.
Hey.
Hey,
there we go.
Flight from New York.
No. Circle in the air. We're here. No, we can dodge those missiles. Come on, let's go. And do not go to Israel. If you have plans to go to Israel, mm-hmm. go. If you don't have plans, get plans. If you're too busy to go, find out how much money it would cost to go. Write a check and send it to Israel. Give it to Avi Mizrahi at Duguid Ministries. They're building this great ministry there. Give it to Kim Clement, who's giving it to. I mean, think about this. If you can't go, and they're trying to, what they're really trying to do, this whole political thing, is they're trying to put the Alinsky methodology on the prime minister, saying we have the power to shut down the flights, which will stop people from going to Israel, and the tourists will start coming to you, stop coming here and spending their money in Israel. And by us doing that, we told everybody that you don't have this place protected. So now that even though we open it back up again, they're going to be fearful and thinking, should I fly in? Should I not fly in? And they're just trying to push them to negotiate with Hamas, whose articles, the seventh article in their
charter,
says that they're going to destroy the Jews. They're not going to negotiate with Hamas.
Well, you know, they have already agreed several times to a peace treaty that was brokered by Egypt. And now recent reports say that Hamas doesn't want to accept the peace agreement, the ceasefire agreement, rather, that the Secretary of State John Kerry is negotiating. The big thing that they don't want to, they will not make any concessions unless that there's some sort of an embargo that was put between Egypt and Hamas on their borders. And basically, Hamas wants to be able to have access to bring all their stuff in, all their illegal arms, everything from the Egyptian border over into their land, the Gaza Strip. And that's something that has been. No way, you know, Egypt's not going to do that, which under the Muslim Brotherhood, that was wide open. They had tunnels coming in from Egypt into the Gaza Strip. They were funneling money. They were funneling all kind of weapons, and that has been closed. But Hamas says they will not accept any peace, any ceasefire, Hamas is saying, unless that is a condition that is met.
Well, hold just a minute. No, Secretary of State John Kerry, I don't think he's for Israel. No, I don't think he's. I think for some reason he's. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have to get back with you on that. I was on my iPhone. Yeah, right. I was on my iPhone. You know, I didn't mean that. What's the talking
open,
points?
Your mic is on.
Talking
your mic
points.
Is on.
My mic's on. I'll get back with you. No, we're for Israel. We're for what we want Israel to do now or Intifada. I don't know.
Right.
Listen, you're not going to win. You're going to find yourself organizing against God, and you will not win. More back on the track, what we're talking about, the Muslim Brotherhood, and how you're about to hear in a moment after this break, the Coptic Pope in Egypt saying that U.S. is still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. So why are we talking about this Muslim Brotherhood in the context of it? Because this Coptic Pope is saying, as of right now, the U.S. is still working with the Muslim Brotherhood. Understand, we should know that if we've been listening, if you've been watching BFN TV, listening to BFN radio, you can catch up on it by going to BFNTV.com. And on our Homeland Security, we even have one of the advisory board is, you know, believe it or not. And I really believe the reason why Congressman Michelle Bachmann says, I'm not going to run, she just probably just said, they don't care.
All right.
They don't understand. They're not going to stand up, mm-hmm. you know, and she's just not going to run. This woman who, I mean, she has a steel backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand how she could raise 20 kids, right? She had like 20 kids or something, foster children.
20?
Something like that.
A few, yeah.
And, but she's just so beautifully balanced and authentic in her. But after a while, it's like, you know, Jesus left Nazareth after a while. And they said, you know, why don't you stay in our city? You know, you can.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I've got to be about my father's business, and there's no business here. And so, anyway, so she was telling us. She wasn't accusing, bringing accusations. She was representing us like she's supposed to, at least her district, and she's definitely representing our values. when she said, you need to vet, which means this. You need to check this person out. Do a background check. And I mean, they do that now if you work at McDonald's, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I know they do it at financial institutions.
Oh, yeah.
They do background
yeah.
checks. I think the federal government's a financial institution. They did not even vet. This is what she was saying. She's saying, I'm not saying that anything's wrong here. I'm just saying she wasn't vetted. And I'm sure her hopes were that when you do vet her, you'll find out she's the daughter of one of the big leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. So we had somebody assisting the Secretary of the State of America who was not even a background check. That's what that means. Ran in a way that was made obvious to the Congress would have done something about that. Mm-hmm. If she was vetted and that was brought out. And you're thinking, what are we doing with all this? And this Coptic Pope is saying this Christian Pope over in Egypt. He says they're still working with, and we know this to be true, but there are peaceful Muslims. There's people that are not radical like this. You may have a Muslim that works with you in your workplace that may be a leader in your community, and they're doing good things and helping people out, and they're normal people. But there's this radical element that's there that and they're co-identifying themselves as that peaceful Muslim that you see in your community. And what would really help out is if this majority, which this, what's the speaker that said?
Miss Gabriel. I don't ever know her last name right now.
Yeah, Miss Gabriel.
Gabriel Bridget, I believe.
Bridget Gabriel. Anyway, she we have this on BFN for you. That she stood up, she says, listen, the majority is irrelevant because the majority just doesn't ever stand up in something.
Bridget Gabriel.
Yeah, but understand this. Encourage your Muslim friends, your Muslim Americans, to say, listen, stand up and say, that's not good. And there is one, and I can't tell you his name right now, and he's public, and he comes out and says it, and he was involved potentially, based on reports, of helping Miriam Ibrahim get released, as she just got released, and he's standing up, and he's identifying the radical elements of Islam as radical elements of Islam, and that he's saying they're wrong. Now, if we had a lot of Muslims who are not radical like that, who are not harming folks and don't, whatever that viewpoint is that these radicals are having, that will just be so powerful if you would just stand up and say that by not saying anything. By not saying anything is approving of what they're doing, because you identify yourself by the same way they identify themselves. You identify yourself. You say you have the same Quran. You say you're a Muslim. You stay quiet in what's taking place. And they're representing you not well. But if you just stood up and grabbed a mic and say, what they're doing is wrong, and I don't want any part of that, and that is not my perception of the Quran, and that's not what I'm living my life for, and that's not how I'm raising my kids in that way, and you know what that'll do? That would be huge. And I'm real curious. It makes you, and this is the whole suspicion thing. Where are these 72% approval rating U.S. Muslims who are supporting our president standing up right now for the country he's president over and saying, just like the president is saying, that that's wrong, what's happening over there, he needs you to stand up and say with him, that's wrong. You don't treat people that way. Hamas is wrong in regards to the way they're treating the Palestinian people. I mean, think about it. America could just go to a whole new level in that. But being silent when they identify themselves the same way. I mean, if we have a Christian that identifies themselves as a Christian, and we do this, I mean, listen to our program, and they go blow up, they go kill somebody and blow up some abortion clinic or something like that. It's wrong. That was evil to kill folks. I mean, how can you kill folks to stop people from killing folks? That's ridiculous.
Although they would say they were a Christian.
Yes.
We could clearly identify and say, no, they're not a Christian. How could we do that? Because we can point to the Word of God.
Right.
And clearly say that these are not the principles and what Jesus and the Word of God tells us to do.
Right, right, right. And we can even probably tell you by looking in the Word of God and speaking with them where they got led astray. And so not only would you say that's not right, But we would say, I can see where they have a twisted viewpoint of what the scriptures say. And you would even understand how they went wrong. And so, you know what I'm saying? Because if you're in your faith, you know what's happening.
Right.
And so I say, you know, majority rise up of the silent Muslims in America, because there's Muslims that are fighting for America, like, you know, other faiths and non-faiths, mm-hmm. And laying their lives down and doing the things that you do as a good citizen and all that. But the big thing we need right now, we need Muslims to stand up and disassociate their faith and their religion from the people who took it hostage, literally, mm-hmm. and beginning to do these things with it instead of just being silent out there. If that happens, you know, I don't know, but I know that that would be very helpful. But it's important to know that all, what percentage, 3, 5, 10%, 15%?
Oh, of the, according to Bridget Gabrielle, she said there's 1.2 billion Muslims around the world, and 15 to 20% are radicalized, which would mean that there's another 800 million Muslims all around the world that are moderate and are not radicalized. And so these would be the ones that would step up and say something and say that these other 15 to 20% that are radicalized and doing, committing jihad and terrorist acts, right, and killing, and this is wrong. Where are they?
And that's what we talked about before, but just coming from the perspective is 800 million. So there's, understand that that means to this, there's 800 million that aren't that.
Yeah.
That's not what they're living their life for. They're not living their life to plot, to blow things up and hurt folks and take people hostage. They're not abusing their wives and oppressing their daughters and, you know, whatever. I mean, that's not what they're not, that's not how they perceive their walk, you know, basically. So you can't just put everybody in the same lump, but we can say 800,000, please stand up and disassociate yourself from these 15% radicals, which is a huge number that can, it's greater than the population of America.
Right.
It's one to just harm folks and hurt folks. And Pat just pulled up the Daily News right here. It says that Michelle Bachmann says there's a chance that I could run for president in 2016.
Wow.
So she didn't give up, no. I guess.
There you go.
Wow. So quickly, we got to get to this. And so you have to understand that this did not start with President Barack Obama. What you're seeing now, new levels, you know, ISTAR dinners and, you know, wanting to push for tax exemption for Zakat and all that. He publicly said it, but I would assume since CARE's been around, since Bill and Hillary Clinton were working towards that, President Clinton was working towards that, bringing CARE in, I'm sure there were, that means all that part of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But including George Bush, President George Bush, he walked right into a mosque and said, this is a great religion.
Yeah.
This is a great religion. And, you know, you can use the word great as being it's large, 1.something billion folks. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, in the eyes of God, him professing to be a Christian, you know, that this anti-gospel that calls Jesus Christ not the Son of God is calling it's great. You have to understand, he was in error.
That's right.
And so this is, didn't just start with what you have is with what I perceive with President Barack Obama. He is honest. He is patient in the context of this is my agenda. Now, how he actually does all that, you know, it's different, but he's in regards to, if you just hear the message, I mean, he wants to see a fundamental transformation of this country. He does not believe it's a Christian nation anymore. He said it.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that it's multi-faith, and therefore we have to have multi-gods, and we have to begin to appreciate all the different diversity. He believed, even from the speech in the DNC before you or anybody else, even though 72% now that voted for him, reports are this month, that they regret even voting for him. We don't have a chance to talk about that. But what happens is everybody's putting their faith and hope in a man. And we have to be able to turn it back to God and appreciate men. But understand, we cannot lose our faith in God. God will not disappoint us. But we can disappoint God when we put our faith in a man. But if you put your faith in God, you'll have to understand, you'll start looking at different people's agenda and go, that's not of God. If I'm going to be loyal to God and I'm going to follow God, that's not of God. Now, they can do that, but I can't be a part of that. When we get back, you're going to hear this Coptic Pope begin to speak about U.S. is still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. So you can kind of, I'll give you the whole story so you can see how it's all connected. And basically, President Barack Obama inherited that and took it to the whole nukes. He brought it out of the closet, and he put it out on the forefront. But it was Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, that brought CARE in and did the different things going on. And it was Hillary Clinton who had the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood with her through all of her Secretary of State in preparation for what it looks like, potentially, wanting to be the next president of the United States. Christians are being persecuted around the world. And you get, here's a report right straight from Egypt, as the Coptic Pope there, the Christian, is saying U.S. is still supporting Muslim Brotherhood. Watch this.
Father Hanna, thank you for joining us. What can you tell us about the current situation for Christians in Egypt, particularly in Upper Egypt? I know you were recently in Minya. What's going on?
Christians, of course, now with this new regime, have a better communication with the government, because General Sisi actually have a very good relationship with Pope Tawadros, and he's trying to help the Christians. But however, the Muslim Brotherhood in Upper Egypt are very strong, and they still have a lot of terrorist group that the government themselves cannot even control. Last April, May, I was there, and then I met with Bishop Makarios. He's the bishop in Armenia, and he told us that they have a kidnapping case almost every week, from one to two kidnapping case every week. And
Are these females?
No. Some of them males and some of them female. And females and some, you know, they're just targeting the rich families. And the ransom there between 100,000 Egyptian pound to 4 million. It depends on the stats of the family. And sometimes even the family doesn't have the enough cash to, you know, to redeem the people. So the church has to pitch in and try to collect from other members some money to release the victims.
Are they also forcing Christians to pay jizya tax?
In some area, it's not per se a jizya, but it's like an unknown jizya that you have to pay some money to be safe for going out and going in. It happened in the Delga village last year, and it was till we were there. In some hot area, there are like terrorist group, and they would like to be safe and would like your business to be safe, you have to pay them some money just to make sure everything is okay.
Well, that's like mafia protection money, isn't it?
Exactly, in a way, yeah.
So how do you combat that? What is Sisi going to do about that?
He has a lot in his plate, you know. You have to understand, I saw a warning in the internet from a group called Jamaat Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, and they are a very terrorist group. They're warning even the civilians not to live next to police stations or any security building. Place belongs to the government, because they are intending to have an attack on these buildings, and they wouldn't like civilians to die.
Have we seen any actual attacks against churches, or have those subsided since El-Sisi's come to power?
Well, it's decreased, but it's still happening. Last weekend, I think like four homes were on fire in Armenia as well. And I think they attempted to burn a church, I think, near Sohag or something, someplace in Upper Egypt last week. But actually, for the first time, the police faced them and abort the trial after they tried to throw, like, with gasoline and stuff and throw it on a church. But the police, you know, seized the fire before damage happened.
So the police are intervening. Are they coming to the aid of Christians when Christians call them, or do they sympathize with the Muslims in these local areas?
Well, in some local area they are, and in some area they are not, because they don't have even the capability to face them. You have to understand, these militant groups are highly, highly heavenly armed. That's what I was trying to say, you know. They have a lot of weapons and updated weapons and machine guns and very sophisticated weapons. So the police themselves, they can't actually face them unless you need an army to face them in some areas.
So Father Hanna, what's the solution here? What needs to be done?
I think the solution to be done to give more aid to the Egyptian government and for the United States to stop helping this terrorist group. These people actually fighting Christian with American weapons, got them through Turkey and through some other areas in the country. And you have to understand, this group wouldn't dare to do this in the country of Egypt unless they have the assistance from the American government here. And that's make everybody sad in Egypt.
Well, I know when I was just in Egypt, and I know people there were telling me, how can your government support Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood? Sure. How can they support these groups? And I said, well, I don't know that America is still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. How are we still supporting them?
Through some other third countries like Turkey, for example. They know that some of this Brotherhood group, they got caught when they having weapons through Turkey, and it was American weapons and very updated American weapon coming through Turkey to the border of Libya and Sudan, and they caught them over there. And that's not right, you know. How America actually trade, you know, its value for its affairs. I mean, you're supporting a group linked to Al-Qaeda, and this is really puzzling everybody in the country. Nobody believes that America do this. I mean, and last year, even like 100 churches were burned, and a lot of Christians were killed. Did we hear even one statement from the White House condemning these actions? No.
I want to ask you now a little bit about your new constitution. It guarantees religious freedom, or goes further in guaranteeing religious rights in Egypt. Are we seeing that on the ground? Are new churches being built, for example?
Yes, actually, when we visited the Upper Egypt, General Sisi actually delivered what he promised, and the army starting to help the church building, you know, and erect the damaged churches, but they taking them in phases because they I think they started with the very heavily damaged that been totally destroyed, and then some, and they're going to go in the list with the less damaged, and then in the end of the list that should have minor damages. That's what the Pope actually was telling me when I met him last time.
And Father Hanna, what is the Pope telling you on the role of America now? What can American Christians do to help secure and preserve this ancient Christian community that started probably about 44, 45 A.D., I mean, one of the oldest in the world?
Well, when you understand that this terrorist group destroyed, like, monasteries from the 4th century, and then that's sad for the whole humanity, not for the Copts in Egypt, this is really bad, you know, when we have 4th century monasteries being totally destroyed by this group. This is sad, and I think all the Christians here need to do two things. First of all, if we can send any financial aid to the Christian in Egypt, that would be great to help them. Because in some poor area, they're really having difficulty to have the end meets, you know, and this is really sad. And the other thing, which is political part, that we need all the Christians to contact their Congress member and tell them, you know, to advise the government to stop helping this terrorist group. And they have to cooperate with the Egyptian government. The new government actually is very promising. And we have to give them a chance and see what they're going to do. And I think the American government now wouldn't like to lose Egypt as one of its allies. So it needs really to work with them hand to hand. And cutting the aid in the Egyptian government, it hurt both Christians and Muslims. It doesn't hurt only, you know, the government.
There still is no U.S. ambassador in Egypt.
Yes, yes. They have a temporary one. But he's not actually, you know, there's not an official U.S. ambassador in Egypt till now.
And I'm sure a new ambassador, one that would be acceptable to the Egyptian people, would go a long way in reestablishing relations, improved relations.
That's what we're hoping for. You know, Egyptian people are very friendly, and they love the American people. And the problem is now the Egyptians get very shut down toward the American government and the president himself. You know, everybody's upset, you know, toward the American government. They love the American people. They love Americans. We love American tourists to go back to Egypt and help the economy. But, you know, people are very upset the role of the United States government toward the Egyptian government and toward the Egyptian people.
We will keep praying, and we will keep everyone posted on developments in Egypt, and I'm sure you'll keep us up to date. And we thank you for taking the time with us today.
We all
Father Hanna, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Thanks a lot.
This is so important. I said all that to say this, but I want to say this. I didn't get this word in or not. Go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and look for prudent preparation. Be prepared. Realize that when you hear people say, you know, America's going to go into a revival and a great awakening, understand when a baby's being born, that mother goes through all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of difficulty, struggle. All her life is on the line during mm-hmm. that time. And some women don't even make it through that childbirthing. But what's happening is revival, if you would, or that child's being born. This third great awakening, I believe, is going to come, but it's going to come through much travailing, much brokenness. And what God has specifically said, and I did get a chance to talk in detail about it from Brett Holderbaum, Rick Joyner, others, and ourselves, that God's saying there is a difficult season of calamity coming and about to strike America. There's a reason, no matter what people say, that there was a white flag hanging in place of the American flag over the Brooklyn Bridge, despite what men tried to explain away. There's a reason, but hold on. Know who God is to you, and you are to God. Get in the Word of God. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide. And get with some real believers who will lay down their life and go to the furnace with you. And not that you have to, but they just they're for God. Because it's time to begin to walk boldly and strongly. Because the greatest harvest the church has ever seen on the face of the earth, I believe, is about to come in. But it's going to come in with things that are going to be so difficult that you got to truly know God. Because in that, he says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. God is for you, God is with you, and he will protect you in the storm. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.